You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
10 games down, 72 to go, and after starting the season with 7 of your first 10 games being on the road, I would say the Sacramento Kings starting 6-4 is pretty darn good. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your hub all season long for Sacramento Kings coverage. If you're looking for conversation, analysis, breakdowns, highlights, interviews, we have it all right here for you on the Locked On Kings podcast. I have the privilege and pleasure of being your host, Matt George from Sports 1140 KHDK. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings. And I like to typically every once in a while start out by thanking you, the listening audience, everybody who takes their time to listen to this Locked On Kings podcast, whether you agree with my takes, disagree with my takes, listen for the Kings specific, listen for my views, whatever it is, the fact that you've made this your podcast platform, even if you're an OG all the way back to when Jason Ross started this so many years ago, I certainly appreciate everybody who takes their time to listen to this podcast, to call it their podcast home, and not just those that listen, but those that interact on a daily basis. This is your platform and your forum just as much as it is mine, and you can be involved with it on social media. At Matt George KHDK is how you can reach me. You can also email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com, if you want to chat with me. Also, no matter what social media platform you're on, I see plenty of conversation between Kings fans mentioning the Locked On Kings podcast, which I'm very thankful for, and I appreciate everybody who has made this their Kings hub. Now, if you are new, here is what you can expect. All season long, daily episodes covering the Sacramento Kings. We have game recaps. We have different storylines that we like to talk about. I have plenty of guests scheduled to come on, including Kings fans themselves. Yes, we're doing a fans-only podcast coming up here in a couple of weeks and middle towards the end of November. We're also approaching Thanksgiving and the Christmas season, so we're going to have some fun with some Christmas and Thanksgiving themed bits for this Sacramento Kings podcast that I hope you will enjoy and be a part of. And if you are new to the Locked On Podcast Network, let me just take a minute really quick to share with you what this podcast network is all about. It is your hub basically for everything sports. If you want NBA specific, all 30 NBA teams have a specific podcast hosted by a plethora of different hosts, and they do a phenomenal job all over this network. We also have Locked On NBA that covers all the NBA itself, has great guests, including the Athletics' Sam Amick, who is also going to be trying to come on. I'm going to try and get him on to the Locked On Kings podcast here very, very shortly. We have the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast that I've appeared on a couple of times, hosted by Josh Lloyd. He does a fantastic job there. I highly encourage you to check that podcast out if you're a fantasy fan. If you're a fan of football, there's Locked On NFL with Team Specific. If you're a fan of baseball, there's Locked On MLB with Team Specific. And then finally, if you're a fan of college athletics in general, there's Locked On NCAA football, Locked On college basketball. We got so much for you. This really is your hub for sports conversation. But enough with that, enough with the nonsense. Now that we've gotten that stuff out of the way, we got lots to talk about here today. Going to recap this Kings and Bucks game that took place yesterday on Sunday, and the Kings lost. Sorry to break it to you. The Kings lost their first game after a five-game win streak. They fell to the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee, 144-109. A bit of a brutal final score, but it was a tough game for the Kings, really, who couldn't get anything going. And every time they tried to get something going, the Bucks did exactly what they needed to do, hit a dagger three. And this team is a really, really good three-point shooting team. And here's a little spoiler for you, or just a fun fact in case you didn't know. Giannis Antetokounmpo is really good, so we're going to be talking about this game, and I'll be playing highlights of that game for you for a little bit. Then we're going to recap this game, and then after that, I want to go through these first 10 games, run through them, remind you of what took place and what didn't, and we'll go a little 10-game progress report for this team that is 6-4 through their first 10, and then we'll look at the next 10 games, and the Kings are approaching a very brutal 10-game stretch, so we're going to be looking at that and giving our best and worst-case scenarios for all of those, and that will do it for another fun Locked On Kings podcast. So enjoy it, sit back, relax with it, and we'll get things started with highlights from this Kings versus Milwaukee Bucks game. Here is the G-Man Gary Gerald, radio voice of the Sacramento Kings, with some of the sound from Milwaukee.
He elites it to the near side. Fox is wide open. He'll tee up the three. He scores the triple. How about this run by the Sacramento Kings? They're now on top, 12-7. They've scored the last 10 points of the ball game, from 5 down to 5 up. Middleton in transition for three, hits it, and the lead goes right back to Milwaukee. Well, the Kings had that great run. Now it's Milwaukee with 8 unanswered points. Here's Shumpert for three. Bounces high off the iron, and it's rebounded by Eric Bledsoe. Here's a corner three on the way from Milwaukee. It is missed by Jensen. Rebounded by Sacramento. Bagley brings it all the way to the front court. Weaves his way to the left. Euro steps into a defender. Puts it on the glass and scores. Boy, he slowed things down, and there was big-time contact. He took a shot. It appeared right in the face, but he was able to convert it. Fox with a drive and a kick. Bagley going to try the three, and Marvin scores it. The rookie from Duke knocking down the triple. He's been very good from downtown. He's 6 of 10 in his rookie season from three-point range. Here comes Adetokunbo with that long stride right to the rim, and he scores again. How do you stop that man? There are a lot of coaches who would love to have a clue as to how you best deny that guy from getting to the rim. Fox drives, goes high window with the left hand. Oh, beautifully done to get the bucket. That was a tough shot for De'Aaron Fox, who now has 12 points as the number two scorer behind Heald's 14 for Sacramento. And here's Adetokunbo, Euro stepping his way to another two-hand flush. Now a mid-court steal from the Bucks. Middleton drive sets up the alley-oop. Hammer spike thrown down by Adetokunbo, and they're going crazy here in Milwaukee. Adetokunbo now matched up against Iman Shumpert. High screen Lopez. Here comes the freak. Hammers it home, and he's fouled. Oh, my. You can watch a lot of NBA basketball, and you will not see many plays more impressive than the one that Giannis Adetokunbo just threw down for a three-point opportunity. He took off just inside the top of the three-point arc, and in two giant strides was challenged by Kosta Kupfer, but he still wound up and over the outstretched arms of Kosta, and through the contact was able to power it down. Frank quickly across the logo. Feeds a bounce pass to the near corner to Justin Jackson. Back inside to Kosta. There's his first flipper of the day. It's no good. Bagley with a rebound. Two-hand flush put back by Marvin Bagley. Boy, did he gather and go quickly and strongly. Wow. Drew a foul as well, so it's going to be a three-point opportunity. Bell hands to Jackson, open for three more. He hits three more. Justin Jackson, whose career high is 20 against Atlanta. He has just surpassed that. He now has 22. 8 seconds for the Bucks fans to enjoy this one as they come to their feet. In front of the first sellout crowd in this building, Mike Budenholzer's Milwaukee Bucks have defeated the Kings for the fifth straight time. The final score is 144-109.
Just like the G-Man explained there as we started that highlight package, the Kings actually did manage to get off to a good start, putting together quite a nice run early on. And then Milwaukee took a timeout, and they came out of that timeout full steam ahead. And really from that point, the game switched, and the Kings were never able to really work their way back into it. Now, they trailed 39-30 after the first quarter. Milwaukee pulled away a little bit in the second quarter. With about 4 minutes left in the second quarter, the Kings brought it down to 14. And what I was hoping for was that this team could chip away and maybe get it to 10 or less at halftime. And then in the third quarter, where they've been so good this season, but especially over this road trip, they could really try and come back and make it a game so that the fourth quarter could be anybody's ball game to win. That really wasn't the case. Those final 4 minutes of the second quarter were all Milwaukee Bucks as they went on another one of their many, many runs. They ended up pulling away in the second half, scoring over 30 points in every single quarter, 39 in the first, 33 in the second, and 36 in both the third and the fourth. The Kings really, unfortunately, couldn't get anything going, and it wasn't for want of trying. They were getting good shots. A lot of them weren't falling, especially in the second quarter and the third quarter. Defense was non-existent for this team. And Milwaukee, we knew they wanted to shoot a lot of threes, and they were a three-point shooting team, and boy, are they. I mean, they took 56 three-pointers, hit 22 of them, so even though they only shot 39% from three-point range, you're looking at 66 points. 66 of their 144 points they scored from beyond three-point range. They also got to the line 33 times and hit 30 of them. The Kings, the free throw shooting woes just continue, which is so confusing for this team and frustrating at times. Some of the fundamental things that they need to work on. They made only 50% of their free throws, 11 for 22. It's good to see them getting to the line 22 times, but it's about cashing in on that. Now, Points in the paint, relatively even for both of these teams, so that was good. The personal fouls were fairly one-sided, especially earlier on. It balanced out a little bit towards the end. The Kings had 26 personal fouls in this game, and fast break points were relatively even also. The Kings only 19 fast break points. The Bucks all the way with 20. And why is that important? Because the Kings have been fantastic in fast break this season, and that shouldn't surprise you. I mean, we've talked about it a lot here on the Locked On Kings podcast, but I don't think people quite understand how important the fast break has been for this Kings team. In fact, the fast break, what the Kings are doing in the fast break has been next level, like out of this world next level for this Sacramento Kings squad, and they're making history, basically. They're on a pace to make history. The Kings last year, remember, were the bottom of the league in pace, and this year they are on an absolute tier by themselves, expected to be scoring, or they're averaging around 32 points per game just from transition this season, which is a historic pace. Last year, I think the Lakers led it, and they were in like the 21 to 22 range. So the Kings are doing what no team has ever done before. Also, you have to credit the change in some of the rules, like the shot clock resetting to 14 on a rebound instead of 24, the fouls as well, associating how many scores or how many points are being scored and how much that has grown across the league. But fast break-wise, things haven't changed too much, except for this team just tries to get out and break and run as much as they could. That was another thing that I noticed in this game that I've mentioned before, that good teams know how to, even if the Kings get a defensive stop and get a defensive rebound, they know how to get back and set up as quickly as possible to limit opportunities in transition. Now, the Kings are always going to get opportunities no matter what. It's impossible to stop them completely. But for the Milwaukee Bucks, it's a win to hold this Kings team to only 19 points and to force them to play half court. And that's what they did a lot in this game. Justin Jackson had a great game for the Kings. And I want to talk about him specifically a little bit because I've been hard on him, as have many, throughout this season. Played 25 minutes, came off the bench, shot 9 of 12 from the field, including 4 of 7 from three-point range, finished with a career-high 22 points. So I got to give credit where credit is due, the fact that he provided some good offense. He came in, was aggressive right away, which is what you want to see, and he ended up hitting 4 of 7 shots from three-point range. But I want to discuss specifically Justin Jackson and really the best-case scenario for him. Now, I've had this conversation with Josh Lloyd before on Locked On Fantasy Basketball and on the Locked On NBA podcast. Justin Jackson, if he could provide half of that production, so he had 22 points, if he could provide 11 points off of 2 of 4 shooting from three-point range and maybe 6 of 8 shooting from the field, if he could provide that in 15 minutes off of the bench, that is the best-case scenario for Justin Jackson, and he could be a key and crucial piece to this Kings team. I'm not holding it against him, and I'm not trying to gripe and grasp for straws here and trying to brush the accomplishments of the 22 points that he scored yesterday under the rug. But the fact that he scored and had his best game offensively in a proverbial blowout, a game that the Kings didn't really have much opportunity in, that speaks volumes to me. Justin Jackson is more than capable of coming off the bench and being a volume scorer that the Kings could certainly use. We look at that second unit and we think, okay, where's the scoring going to come from? Does Buddy Hield or De'Aaron Fox have to be on the court, or at least one of them have to be on the court at all times for this team to have a good opportunity to score? The answer is no if you could get production from Justin Jackson consistently. He hasn't given you that, but hopefully maybe this is the start of him getting into a groove. And if he can come off the bench and give you volume scoring, that is your best case scenario. Now, Justin Jackson also only had one assist and no rebounds in those 25 minutes. That's a concern as well. You want him to do more than just score the basketball. But again, I don't want to feel like I'm grasping for straws and focusing on the negative when he did have a positive game. So good for Justin Jackson to come out to be aggressive. It certainly was his most impressive game of the season thus far. And if he could provide that volume scoring off the bench for the Kings, that's where he has his best niche with this team, in my opinion, going forward. Now, I mentioned Giannis Antetokounmpo. Did you know this guy was really good? In 30 minutes, he had 26 points. He was plus 39 with him on the court. He had also 11 assists, 15 rebounds. That's a triple-double, by the way. Shot 8 of 11 from the field, 1 of 2 from three-point range. Got to the line 12 times, made 9 of them. This guy is so good. In fact, he was my pick at the very beginning of the season to win the MVP, and I think it is really his to lose. If he can add a three-point shot, he would be virtually unguardable and unstoppable. He's already almost unguardable as it is now. So athletic. He can get to the rim really at will. He's got a big body, but he moves fast like a guard. There's nothing not to like about Giannis Antetokounmpo's game, and he did have that poster of Kosta Kufos, which, by the way, props to Kosta, and props to anybody who gets put on the poster but is actually jumping and trying to play defense. Even if you're overmatched, I appreciate that rather than you stepping out of the way and just giving the guy the highlight. Good on Kosta for at least getting his hands up and trying to disrupt it, but it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Greek Freak is an appropriate name. He is a freak of nature. He is not human. He is unworldly, and he absolutely had a fantastic game. He could have had much more than 26 points, but they really didn't need him to provide that. You also have to look at the three-point shooting for this team, how many players got involved in the scoring from three-point range. How about Brook Lopez? Remember Brook Lopez a number of years ago with the Brooklyn Nets, how in New Jersey Nets, how he was a low-post scorer and really one of the star big men in this league? Now he's gone to Milwaukee, and what have they told him to do? Stay on the perimeter, wait for Giannis to kick the ball out to you, and shoot threes. And he does that well. This Milwaukee Bucks team is a force to be reckoned with. I'm very excited to see what they can do in the Eastern Conference this year. It seems to be a three-way battle between them, Boston, and Toronto, to see who is the best team in that Eastern Conference. So keep a close eye on the East this year, because there's going to be a lot of good battles and a lot of good jockeying for playoff position, I think, especially in the second half of the season. But congratulations to the Bucks for getting off to that great start and opening up their brand-new arena with an 8-1 start. They're 6-0 in that new arena, which is fantastic. Good for them. And now we focus on the Sacramento Kings. And let's run through these 10 games here that they've played this season. If I were to tell you, when the schedule came out and we saw that the Kings were opening up at home against the Utah Jazz, and then 7 of their first 10 games would be on the road, if I had told you the Kings would be 6-4 after that 10-game stretch, you would have been elated, right? I would have been elated. Everybody would have been happy. I want to make sure fans aren't left with a sour taste in their mouth because of this 144-109 loss, that causes them to forget how good this road trip has been. I mean, they were on a 5-game win streak, 2 at home, then 3 on the road against Eastern Conference teams that historically they have struggled against. Now those 3 Eastern Conference teams that they did beat on the road aren't necessarily the best of the best. But those are teams that if you are a young team that's trying to get better and those are teams you should be beating, that's a good starting point. And I saw the Kings excel and do better and improve in that area over past seasons, which is a positive. But let's start running through these 10 games really quick, and I'll give you a quick recap, and we'll go over together and remind ourselves this 10-game stretch, what the Kings got through in order to be 6-4. It started with the Utah Jazz at home. Now remember, Utah took on the Sacramento Kings in a preseason game, their final preseason home game of the season, and absolutely smacked them around. It wasn't close, and it made us look at this opening night matchup and think, oh God, this could get ugly very, very quickly. The Kings led for the majority of this game, although Utah was the better team. They turned things around, particularly in the second quarter, using the long ball. Joe Ingles had a fantastic game, and they ended up winning this game 123-117. So the Kings starting the season 0-1. Willie Cauley-Stein led the team in points in that game at 23. Nemanja Bjelica led the team in rebounds with 8, and De'Aaron Fox had 7 assists. Then they went on the road to take on the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Pelicans at that time were undefeated, playing phenomenal basketball. It just smacked the Houston Rockets around in Houston, and they smacked the Kings around pretty much too because of phenomenal games from both Anthony Davis and Nikola Mirotic, who had a phenomenal game. But the Kings losing that one by 20 points in New Orleans, 149-129. So you're looking at the start of the season, they're 0-2, and now they're taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder in OKC, and it is the return of Russell Westbrook. And you're thinking, oh boy, this is a very good opportunity to be 0-3. And then you have the Denver Nuggets coming up next. We're staring at an 0-4 start, and it is not looking good. But because of fantastic play by Iman Shumpert and an all-around great game from the Kings top to bottom, Shumpert finished with 26 points. The Kings defeated the Oklahoma City Thunder 131-120. So the Kings get a little bit of our swagger from that game, get their first win of the season in a game they were certainly not favored in, kind of shocked the OKC crowd. Like I mentioned, Shumpert had 26 points. Cauley-Stein led the team in rebounds with 7. De'Aaron Fox had 10 assists in that game, which is a welcome sight. Then they head to Denver, fourth game of the season against this Denver Nuggets team that is expected to be improved. At the time, Denver Nuggets were the number one defensive team in the league, and they couldn't keep the Kings under 100 points, allowed 112 points from the Kings, but they did score 126 of their own. So the Kings start the season 1-3 after falling to Denver in Denver 126-112. Bagley had 20 points to lead the Kings in scoring in that game, also had 9 rebounds. Frank Mason led the team in assists with 7. And then the Kings returned home for a quick two-game homestand. And I was looking at these two games at home and thinking, okay, get yourself back. These are winnable games against both Memphis and Washington, who was struggling at the time. Get yourself back into a groove and figure out how to win these games and win them comfortably. Well, they didn't win them comfortably, but they were close games, both of these, and the Kings did end up scratching them out. The game against Memphis at home, 97-92, a defensive battle. Neither team shot very well. Buddy Hield led the team in scoring with 23 points. Nemanja Bjelica had 11 rebounds, Fox 6 assists. And then the Washington game, where the Kings were trying to avenge the fact that the Washington Wizards blew the Kings out in Sacramento last season. Washington comes in. Kings built up a big lead. Washington worked their way back. It was Bradley Beal, who was coming off of an injury. He didn't have the greatest game. John Wall didn't have the best game as well. But the game was close. It went back and forth, came down to the wire. The Kings ended up getting that gritty victory at home, 116-112. So suddenly they're 3-3, and they're about to head on this four-game road trip. By the way, Nemanja Bjelica was phenomenal in that game. That was the game where he just lit it up from three-point range, had 26 points from three, also had 12 rebounds. De'Aaron Fox, another graded game assist-wise, 9 assists for him. Then we head on this road trip, Miami, Orlando, and Atlanta. I don't need to spend too much time on all three of these games, but remember, the start in Miami was not very good. Hassan Whiteside was swatting everything at the rim. Willie Cauley-Stein couldn't really get anything going, and the Kings were having to rely on the three-point shot a little too much, which got them off to a slow start, but the pace started to catch up and really hurt Miami. The Kings were down by 12 points at one point in the first quarter in that game, brought it back to even at halftime, and then in the third quarter, they created that separation, ended up winning that game 123-113 behind 26 points and 13 rebounds from Willie Cauley-Stein. Then you head to the Orlando Magic game, and De'Aaron Fox was dealing with a little bit of an injury in this game, so he was favoring his back a little bit, had the strained lower back that he suffered towards the end of the Miami game. Got off to a rough start. Orlando took an 11-point lead, and Fox just didn't look right. He looked like that back was really hurting him. The Kings grinded it out once again, used their pace, especially in the third and fourth quarter, to tire out the Orlando defense. At one point in this game, Terrence Ross asked to be subbed out of the game towards the end, asked head coach Steve Clifford if he could take a break and take a breather because he was so tired from running up and down the floor. The Kings use what they do best, speed and tiring their opponents out to get the 107-99 victory. Buddy Hield had another nice game with 25 points. Then the fun one in Atlanta. The Kings were blown out by 40 points against the Atlanta Hawks last season in Atlanta. This time, they are the ones doing the blowing out. The number one pace Atlanta Hawks versus the number two pace Sacramento Kings. But the Kings looked like they were number one and Atlanta was number 20 or 30. They blew the Hawks out 146-115 behind the first career triple-double for De'Aaron Fox, who had 31 points, 10 rebounds, and 15 assists. And then we have this loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. So that's our progress report, our run-through of the first 10 games. And overall, here's the good and the bad that I can point out. The bad, defense. We recognize defensively that this team is not good, and there are things that they are working on. Another bad that I can point out about this team, I really have three major gripes. The half-court offense just is not good. And that's something that this team has to work on, working on those sets, getting the playbook down. And Dave Yeager has said it himself, that this team hasn't quite learned and absorbed everything that he wants them to absorb. He said early on they're about 15-20% of their entire playbook, and of the lessons that he wants to teach them is what they had gotten and mastered. Which is not encouraging, but also not surprising with how young of a team this is, and these things take time, as Yeager has said over and over and over again. But the half-court offense is certainly something that this Kings team needs to improve on. When they do get stopped in transition and do have to set up in half-court, it still seems like a lot of isolation play. Now, things have gotten better, especially when players off the ball are moving, a lot of cutting to the rim, which is an improvement in Buddy Hield's game that we've seen so far this season. But a lot of standing around, a lot of isolation ball, and a lot of really deep three-point shooting with a hand in their face. Luckily, Nemanja Bjelica and Buddy Hield have been able to carry a lot of the load three-point shooting-wise. That's something that certainly could improve. And finally, scoring off of the bench. Dave Yeager, towards the end of the first quarter, early parts of the second quarter, is forced to put in lineups that usually don't consist of Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox, who have been the two most go-to consistent scorers on this Kings team. And the scoring drops off. And you can tell while watching that the units that are in, usually combination of Frank Mason, Yogi Ferrell, Justin Jackson, or Iman Shumpert, and Marvin Bagley, Kosta Koufos, or Marvin Bagley, Harry Giles. There just isn't enough scoring there, which is why Bogdan Bogdanovic coming back against Toronto on Wednesday, I think will be huge for this squad. But the second unit needs some more scoring help and needs to be able to pick up the offensive execution and the pace that the starters are starting with. So those are my three major gripes, but the major positives, of course, Kings are running in transition. They're tiring teams out, and it's fantastic. The third quarter for this team has been excellent. I haven't liked always how they've been starting the first quarter, but how they've been coming out of halftime has been fantastic for this team, in my opinion, so far this season. I love what I'm seeing from De'Aaron Fox. He looks like a bona fide star, and he's ready to be the leader for this team. I think Willie Cauley-Stein has shown that he deserves a payday this summer, and hopefully he can consistently continue to do that and stay aggressive. Nemanja Bjelica has been a steal for the Kings this summer. And then finally, Marvin Bagley, in his limited time off the bench, has continued to be productive, continued to be ready to go, and I'm happy to see how, as his minutes hopefully increase throughout this season, how he continues to improve and get better and succeed. But the fact that this Kings team is 6-4 after 10 games, what more could you wish for? Very, very pleased. But now we look at this 10-game rough stretch coming up. This one's going to be a doozy. Let's dive into it. So looking at these games coming up, starting with the Toronto Raptors at home in Sacramento as the Kings return home. They have a four-game homestand here and four very difficult opponents. Starting with the Raptors on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, you have the Timberwolves and the Lakers. And then next Monday, you have the San Antonio Spurs, followed by the Memphis Grizzlies and Houston Rockets on the road. Then the Kings return home for brief one-game homestand against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Then they go back on the road for Utah and Golden State, and finally back at home on November 25th, which is a Sunday, to host the Utah Jazz once again. So you're looking at that stretch, and all you see is playoff teams or teams with a lot of talent. Personally, despite the fact that they're coming off this blowout loss to the Milwaukee Bucks, and the fact that these Toronto Raptors are just as good as the Bucks, if not better, in terms of Eastern Conference standings, they only have one loss themselves. I'm expecting them to be competitive. I'm also expecting Kawhi Leonard to play in this game. He didn't play against the Lakers, and the Raptors still blew the Lakers out. And he is expected to be resting, I think, tonight in their game, which means he should be good to go and ready to return against the Sacramento Kings. But that's not a for sure thing yet. But I think the Kings returning home, having played as well as they have over this first 10-game stretch, they should and will be competitive in that game. And hopefully we'll have a chance to win that game at home against a Raptors squad that in the past, in the history, over the last few seasons, the Kings have had a decent success rate against this Toronto Raptors team. The Minnesota Timberwolves are in shambles right now, but they still have a lot of talent regardless of if Jimmy Butler plays or not. So that should be a tough matchup on Friday if you're having to deal with Andrew Wiggins, and Karl Anthony Towns. If Butler plays, great. If not, great. There's Teague on this team as well. A lot of talent on this Minnesota team, so you certainly can't look over them, but that's a very winnable game in my opinion. I think the Kings should beat the Minnesota Timberwolves at home on Friday, and they should beat the Los Angeles Lakers at home on Saturday as well. I'm aware that LeBron James plays for that team, but that team doesn't look right. They're trying to figure things out. They're learning on the go and failing a lot on the go as well. Luke Walton may be on the hot seat there, so that is a very winnable game that I expect the Kings to win at home in front of a very, very fun and excited atmosphere. It's always fun when the Lakers come to town because of the Lakers fans that come into the building. I know some Kings fans hate that. I personally love it because it makes a college-like atmosphere that I love. The San Antonio Spurs are always a tough task. So out of these four games, I'm most worried about that San Antonio game. I could see the Kings winning the next three, Toronto, Minnesota, and Los Angeles, and then falling to San Antonio. Then you have Memphis and Houston, like I said, on the road. Houston, I'm chalking that up as a loss almost immediately. Memphis, the Kings have beaten already. But they had to scratch and claw to do it, and Memphis might be looking for revenge, so I would almost expect the Grizzlies to win that game. Same thing with Oklahoma City, except because it's in Sacramento. The Kings, I hope, will pull that game out, and if they can get one of these three against Utah and Golden State, one against Utah in Utah, one at home against Utah, and then one in Golden State. If they could get one of those three, I will be pleased. I'm pegging this team. I'm hoping that they'll be able to go 6-4. 5-5 is where I feel most comfortable over these next 10. I'll even be okay with 4-6 to put them at 500 after 20 games, but I'm curious how you feel. I put this question out, got a lot of responses, and we'll go over more of these in detail in tomorrow's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Ran a little out of time today, but we'll dive into these deeper in next week's episode, so be sure to stay tuned for that. Very rough 10-game stretch, though. It starts with setting the tone against the Toronto Raptors. I believe it's a very winnable game. And after this rough 10-game stretch, things certainly lighten up early on in December. So if the Kings can manage to stay afloat, stay around 500 through this 10-game stretch and enter December around 500, I think they can be really, really good when we are approaching the end of the 2018 calendar year. Thanks to everybody who listened to this Locked On Kings podcast here today. Like I mentioned earlier on, the Locked On Kings podcast will be doing another fans-only episode later in November. If you want to be a part of that or want to sign up or try to volunteer yourself to come onto the podcast, please do on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK, or you can email me, at mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow as we'll dive into more detail about this 10-game road trip, trying to put together some guests for you, and also we will be looking more into this Toronto Raptors game coming up as well. So lots to talk about, lots to enjoy from this Kings season that is still so fresh, but your Kings are 6-4, and that's a wonderful thing to say. Have yourself a good Monday. I'll talk to you on Tuesday. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.